My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I beg your pardon for my sins and the grace to spend this time of prayer fruitfully. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. We will read in the Mass tomorrow, the fifth Sunday of Lent, this text from St. John. And we endeavor to immerse ourselves in this gospel scene, most probably frequently meditated on. We have practiced being in this scene so many times. And we have another opportunity this morning in our conversation with Jesus here in the Blessed Sacrament. Among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. These approached Philip, who came from Bethsaida in Galilee, and put this request to him, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." These were Greeks. They were not Jews. And they were not part of the chosen people. But they also had the right to meet with the Messiah. We venture to tell our Lord, "We are here like those Greeks. We are not Jews, we are not Israelites, but we want to see Jesus." Now, for the duration of this activity, but also throughout the day, "I would like to see you, Lord." To see Jesus as he is, the Son of God, God Himself, we need a special grace from God, as He also gave St. Peter that same grace for him to enable him to declare who Jesus actually was. He is the Son of the living God, the Christ. It's an amazing thing that we are with Him now. And our ambition is to see Him also in the people we will meet today, in circumstances. When I entered this house, this main door, I heard some lady speaking behind, somewhere behind the door. And they were trying to hush, but with emotion, agitation a bit. And I prayed for them. We should always do things with Jesus, who is with us, of course, as always. He cannot not be with us. We may feel He is not there. We may think He is not there. And thank God that's only for an instant, few moments, because of our emotions. No, we are disgusted, disappointed. we are invaded by this overwhelming feeling. We cannot immediately shake off somehow justifying the question whether God is really there. Of course He is there. Only to eyes of faith, only to hearts open to faith, hope, and charity. The eyes of the flesh, our passions, our emotions, they cannot discern God. They cannot. That's because God is pure spirit. There are no sensible qualities, unless we talk about Jesus. But even with Jesus, we do not see Him. We cannot touch Him directly. We can eat Him in the Eucharist. That's why we are like these Greeks. We ask permission from Philip. Sir, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew, and Andrew and Philip together went to tell Jesus. I don't know why Andrew, or rather Philip, did not go directly to Jesus. Maybe strength in numbers. Maybe they had established that arrangement that they would seek another to help them, to accompany them to Jesus. In any case, Jesus replied to them, "Now the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you most solemnly, unless a wheat grain falls on the ground and dies, it remains only a single grain. But if it dies, it yields a rich harvest." Jesus, when He talks about His glorification, referred to His being lifted up. And that being lifted up could refer to His crucifixion. And everything that led to it. His passion, His scourging at the pillar, the crown with thorns, and many, many untold of sufferings, moral and physical. And I tell you most solemnly, he uses an analogy to impress upon us. Those listeners at that time, they're very familiar with farming, planting, sowing, all of these indicators of an agricultural culture. So Jesus, to communicate with them, goes to that level and puts before them the reality of grain falling on the ground and dying. That distance between the sower's hand to the ground is clear. There is a certain distance. That's why, my sister, we meditate, we reflect on this need to die. The need to die in order for life to begin again. For there to be a rich harvest, the grains of wheat planted would have to fall to the ground, would have to die. And let's tell Jesus, each one of us, we have our own set of circumstances. And also, Jesus, we foresee. We are open. Since we made the morning offering, and maybe you have heard Mass, we have offered everything to God, including the future, including what is unknown to us, to me. I don't know what's going to happen later this morning. I don't know if there's going to be food for lunch. I don't know if they're going to outdo themselves better than last Saturday. Lami ba ang katong gi-serve nila? It was good. And I don't know whether I'll get a flat tire. I don't know, you know, a motorist would, or a motorcycle driver would cut me. I don't know, but maybe from my past experiences, these things happen. Only God knows. But we can ask ourselves, are we disposed to? Are we open to such dying? Such sort of destruction of self? Are we eager even to grab on to these crosses that God would send us? Little pinpricks. Many times today, that we have to die. We feel it. I sort of denounce, I separate myself from what I would have wanted. Or it may happen, God wants us to do something that sort of makes it so hard for us. We have to swallow our pride, as they say. I prefer something else, you know. But what can we do? Sometimes we cannot get what we want. Let us be open, like Jesus. Join His team. It's a, you know, it's a joy to watch a good football player play. And what's even more, a good team play. And part of being a good player is to help the others prosper, blossom. They shine also, not only you. I don't know if that's said to be buakaw. He says a crocodile. No? He wants to eat everything. He lets the others also play. Gives the ball to them. Part of being good is to kill what is pride, what is proud in us. I remember giving a retreat, you know, and in this retreat for the men, I was preaching to Father De Torre. He was already unable to go out to the center, etc. But for these activities, they arrange a special transportation, driver, schedule, etc. I preached something about pride. Then he called me. He asked somebody to call me to go to his room. Okay. Father Joseph, what's up? Pax in eternum. And he told me about pride. Our father pointed out that there is also good pride. That's why the better thing to talk about is selfishness. Anyway, so I just kept quiet. I understood what he meant, but at the same time, it is also clear that pride is one of the seven capital sins. Even if whatever our father said. Yeah, of course, there's good pride. I'm proud of our team we won. I'm proud of you, my son. A dad would say. But we have to swallow, no? Or listen to a fraternal correction, or I have to die. And it's good to experience that. Because that's what our Lord experienced. And we're trying to copy His life. Isn't that the fact? And we can turn it even around. How I feel of swallowing my pride, somehow gives me an idea of what our Lord had to suffer. Although He is all good, all truth, and all beauty, infinite, almighty, God, supreme. What a humiliation, no, to become human. What a humiliation to be limited. To be limited. To be hungry, to be thirsty, to suffer pain. Having to, you know, study how to do artisanship or carpentry from St. Joseph. And then to die on the cross. I remember a priest who was hearing confessions in a church, very high ceiling, and then a reredos of the crucifixion. But the image of our Lord with His arms outstretched, this is the traditional crucifixion. Well, this particular crucifix had a detached arm. All the other appendages were nailed to the cross, but the other one was, you know, beckoning to somebody. So the priest sat under that and heard confessions, and he received a penitent who, the priest was not inclined to give him the absolution. For whatever reason. A recidivist, you know, someone who has kept on falling the same thing. He's stubborn or hard-headed or really weak, but wanting to teach him a lesson. But suddenly, the crucifix spoke to him. I have suffered so much. I have died so that you can forgive that sinning. Something like that in so many words. So our Father taught us priests to forgive all the time. To help the penitent be really sorry. It's very different from being perfect, you know, no weaknesses. But we can always be sorry and apply the means. Manifest our sorrow and resolution of amendment. Again and again and again. He had no qualms of forgiving the same person of the same sin in one day. When he comes again. So on the side of God, there is no problem. But we, because of pride, we find it difficult, you know, to believe that this is, that the mercy of God is like that. We sort of judge ourselves so hardly. We are so condemning of ourselves. But God loves you. You see, the devil can insert his tail somewhere and discourage you. Because that's his battle plan all the time. Anything to discourage you. Anything to make you feel down and out. Anything to weaken the ardor of your zeal in the apostolate. Anything to worry you so you're not abandoned. Anything that would prevent you from being a child. And thus we will not be optimistic to die. I'm willing to die. Because I know the real story, the transfiguration of Jesus, that's the real story. Externally, it's terrible, maybe. But actually, it's glory. So let's be eager, my sister, to grab onto that cross. Let's be eager or more eager than Simon of Cyrene to go to it. This is my plan. I will follow it. Another kind of cross, you know. It's not just, you know, denying yourself, no. When God or circumstances deny us, prevent us from getting, achieving, or acquiring what we truly want and desire. That could also be a cross. Being patient, waiting, unless a wheat grain falls on the ground and dies, it remains only a single grain. But if it dies, it yields a rich harvest. Martyrs. A father of the church would comment that the blood of the martyrs spilled becomes the seed of new conversions, of evangelizing many other people. There's that story of this liberal atheist, I think an editor of a communist newspaper in Belgium. She was married to a very good woman who was Catholic. He was also Catholic, but he stopped practicing his faith a long time before. And this woman, who loved her husband very much, asked God to give her, to send her, a cross that she would carry for whatever time God required for the conversion of her husband. So from the time of the diagnosis, 5 years passed before she died. Before dying, however, she had a nice conversation with her husband. You know, the last goodbyes and so forth. And she revealed to him what she had asked Jesus. At which the man scoffed. She said, "When I die, I would have paid already the price for your conversion." Yeah, he chuckled or whatever. She died and time moved on. People moved on. It took about, I don't know, several months before he decided to become a monk. And that is what he became. Because his wife had paid. Because his wife had died. Not only when she physically died, but even from 5 years before, accepting the cross that God would send her. What are we prepared, my sister? What are we prepared for? I recall Father Don Javier, when he was the father, talking about, and I think also Don Blessed Alvaro, giving our Lord a blank check. That's scary, you know. Very scary. Especially if you don't have too much money in the bank. But he gives us a blank check. Or rather, we give our Lord a blank check. What's he going to write down there? Well, are we open? Jesus, help me. As you were so open to your cross, the one of Pilate, when he condemned you in those unfair circumstances, why scourge you, why it is crowned with thorns at no verdict yet. He just wanted to look good to the Jews, eager for his own career going forward. Can we say, Lord, I have carried the cross? If we will say, well, I have not been generous in carrying my cross or crosses, let's ask for pardon and strength. Let us ask for pardon, the grace, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because many souls depend on us. The salvation of our souls also depends on it. You remember that story of St. John Mary Vianney, no? When he went, he reported for duty in his parish of Ars. That's in France, right? And he went to this town with, the town was in ICU, intensive care unit. Yeah, it was dying. The practice of the faith was almost nil. Attending the mass were only two viejitas, very old women, much older than the oldest here. Because the one who is here is still young. After they go, who's going to go to mass? No more. So he had this benediction, and he told our Lord in the benediction, I accept all the crosses you want to send to me for the conversion of my parish. Deal. What do you say? Of course our Lord doesn't back off from these sort of challenges. No one can outdo him in generosity. Well, you look at this saint, you know, I don't know, his picture, his paintings, he was really, he was not a movie actor, you know. But so many people went to see him, to go to his confessional. Even from abroad, from a far away lands. So his parish got converted. Life, Christian life began again. What so much good he was able to do. Because he was willing to carry those crosses. He would hear confessions. I remember, you know, thinking, when will be the last penitent to come? So they're coming one after the other, no? Like in UNP, no? One after another, you open the door a little, then you see the pews filled up, no? Five pews, long pews. So, well, anyway, one by one. Then you're already 3 hours there, and then still more are coming. Your lunch is in the line. Your get together, your, I don't know what you plan, and you have to, you know, leave them. The Holy Curie of ours heard confessions for most of the day, sleeping so little. That's why he was suffering, but happy. As they say, kawawa. Yeah. No one likes to be kawawa, because of our pride. But that's what Jesus was. Kawawa. And he's God. So the dying and carrying the cross is the same as being humble and meek. So we have Our Lady to look up to. She's not just a pretty face or she suffered with Jesus all the way. Why don't we accompany her? Why don't we be a Simon of Cyrene also? You know, carrying a little of the cross of Jesus. Instead of riding on the cross, giving our Lord a harder time because of our weight, we get off the cross and
help a little, no? Even if it would look like we give him a little more difficulty because we block his way or we're clumsy or what. I don't know. So many rewards. Someone was telling me yesterday, last week, about the, so many things that you do, no? This MYPD? NYP, Mayana.
Make your path.
Make your path. Yeah, that's right. So that was not there when I was here eons ago. So many years and so much fruit. How nice, right? Praise the Lord. And how much more fruit God will send as long as we cut, do again, repeat the recipe. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this meditation. I beg your help in performing them, my Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.